Ladies and gentlemen, we here at Ragnarok are proud to present to you the oldest surviving actual play recording we have ever produced. This was recorded in the 1920s on a wax cylinder, and we dug it out of our archives just this morning, and we managed to restore part of it. And so we are very excited to present to you the first ever Ragnarok AP. Take a listen.
All right, fellas, here's the poop. The orcs have you behind the eight. And it'll be curtains for you unless you can make tracks.
Well, I draw my sword and I give him what for.
Those mugs? I plug him right in a kisser.
All right, you mopes. Hands in the air. This is a raid.
You'll never take us alive, copper!
It seems that our Ragnarok predecessors were also rum runners back during the Prohibition era.
Go figure.
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the nerdpocalypse.
All right, here we go.
How dare you try to take that honor from Ryan?
I wow. want to take everything from
button
Ryan.
Button pusher.
Including his beard.
I was the one who pressed the button. hey, everyone, welcome to another Ragnarok actual play. Tonight we're going to be playing Fate Accelerated.
Whoosh!
Whoosh.
All right, this so we're going to play regular Fate, but really fast.
Yep.
All right, Ryan, what are you going to do first?
All right, well, first we're going to introduce your characters. Go around everybody at the table, introduce your character and yourself. Alex, you start.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alex. And I'm doing it slow so that when it gets sped up later, it'll be normal speed. I'm playing Deputy Curtis Wheeler of the show Paradise Bluff. Curtis Wheeler
is the main character in this show.
I think Derek.
I feel like this is an ensemble cast.
It's I think this is one of those shows where there really isn't.
There might be an episode where you barely even see the sheriff.
Well, I mean, if you think of Twin Peaks, like Kyle MacLachlan was the star, but it was still an ensemble cast. Like, there's usually one lead person. I think it would be Derek.
I guess so. Just by the breakdown of the town. I guess.
I'm trying to think of like if you look at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Coulson's
the main character and Sky.
But like, that's two
May.
Characters.
Yeah.
May.
No, there are other important characters.
Well, I think you guys.
Coulson and Sky are the main
characters.
You guys
are the central focus because the ones who are actually players. The other NPCs are.
All right, anyway, so.
Steven!
I am Deputy Curtis Wheeler. He's the newest. One thing we didn't come up with, Derek, are there other police officers or is it just us?
There's another. Oh, here we go. Wait.
We have two. We have the woman who works the switchboard.
Okay.
Francine.
Francine works the switchboard. And we have Harold, who is a retired, what I have in mind is like he's basically Harold is always at a desk in the sheriff's office.
Which is a lot of people work.
Never really leaves.
Okay.
So I'm just not retired. Maybe he's just an older
is
guy.
Always, is he always doing paperwork? Busy doing.
But yeah. Or you know. Or he's always busy doing something.
All right. Harold was the sheriff like
30 years
like
ago.
30 years ago, yeah. And nobody ever. And he started going senile, and nobody had the heart to let him go. So he's just been working.
He's log lady.
Yeah, kind of.
He's just been working in the office.
Harold is. Well, yeah. Hey, Harold, you're locked up. Okay.
All right. So you and I are the only cops. Though.
Yeah.
Okay. He has a desk, but he doesn't really do anything at the desk.
Right. Well, maybe he's the first guy you see. He could be the desk sergeant guy. Maybe he's not senile. He retired, but he still wants to work, so he volunteers as the desk sergeant.
He's the Walmart greeter of the sheriff's office.
Yeah, well, there has to be someone to talk to.
Okay.
Here you go, Harold.
You got to pay a parking ticket. You go talk to Harold.
Yeah, here you go, Harold. Some coffee. Man, I like coffee.
All right, so we're the only two cops left. Okay.
Yeah.
And something else we never asked in the setup. We can get to that later. Curtis.
So Curtis is the rookie deputy. His father was sheriff before Derek was, and so he's trying to prove himself because Daddy doesn't think that.
Doesn't care.
Yeah, because Daddy doesn't think he has what it takes to be a cop. So he's always trying to prove himself as a rookie to prove that one day he could be sheriff.
Well, you know, Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me are going into my vanity someday.
No, Scotty doesn't know. Eddie?
Scotty doesn't know. What? Yeah, that's right, people. I did a Euro trip.
I love that movie. God, do I love that movie.
Eddie? Scotty doesn't know.
Matt Damon.
You're right.
I am playing Fox Creepy Cooper.
Creepy in quotation marks.
Creepy in quotation marks. I am the celebrity that they hired to come in season two because the show is making money. I am a new cast member. I am a federal agent who has a bit of a background in strange and unusual happenings. He believes the truth is out there. And I have been called in to...
No, you have to come up with a different phrase than the truth is out there.
There are things you haven't seen.
What?
The answers exist.
The answers exist. I love it.
The answers exist. I have been called to Paradise Bluff because you guys uncovered some weird shit during an investigation, during your investigation, and you needed me, so I'm here.
Well, how about this? What if we didn't call you?
I like that better. You just show up.
Yeah.
I think that should be the first scene, is Ed showing up.
Okay.
Ah, Meyer.
So what, did I read it in the paper and show up or something?
Okay. That's of you.
Sorry, Meyer.
You son of a... My name is Meyer, and I am playing Billy Dupont, who is the bad boy, who's not actually a bad boy.
He has a heart of gold.
Mm. Well, he's a heart or something. He has a heart. That's confirmed. What it's made out of.
Could be made of muscle.
Has yet to be determined.
Yeah. And I will... that's it.
That's all you got?
That's all I... Wait, all right. Well, what's... Then the rest is going to be season one stuff that we...
Right, yeah. You're right, exactly. Yeah. No, for sure. And I'm Derek, and I'm playing Sheriff Theodore Spencer. Teddy to his wife, and Spence to many other people in town. And he is the incumbent sheriff who was ready to call it quits. But the circumstances of season one have caused him to rethink that plan.
What was the name of the girl who went missing?
Yeah, Julie.
I know Julie Simpson. What? Simpson, that was it.
Yeah, Julie Simpson.
All right, so speaking of this, speaking of Julie, we are playing characters on the show Paradise Bluff. Paradise Bluff is an addictive primetime mystery show about small town investigators who are perplexed when the prom queen goes missing.
On graduation.
On graduation day. So,
Day. She went missing between prom night. Right.
So we've decided collectively in the setup that this is the season two premiere of Paradise Bluff. So we're going to go back and do a season one recap.
Previously
on Paradise Bluff.
All right, so I guess if you want to just jump in with stuff. We open up on... high school graduation. Congratulations, class of 2014. There are people snapping pictures, and everybody is waiting, and we pan over, and we see an empty chair.
With a little card that says valedictorian.
Valedictorian.
Right.
Patricia walks in and says, oh no, Patricia's in college.
No.
Patricia.
No, is Patricia graduating or is she a junior?
No, she's a junior.
Okay.
Yes.
So
she's
then,
a junior.
Some random high schooler walks in. And says, I can't believe I'm even awake this morning. Last night was crazy.
We cut to prom night, the previous night. There are teens grinding on each other and doing shots. We see the...
Well, no, they're not doing shots. They're surreptitiously taking belts out of flasks.
Yeah, out of flasks.
That's right.
Spiking the punch bowl.
Yeah.
There's a shot of Julie. She's drinking the flask. She turns to Jace and says, "What's in this? Don't worry, just drink it."
Jace, if you're not aware, is the big man on campus, quarterback.
All right, so we'll go there. Now introducing our prom king and queen. Jace O'Neill and Julie Simpson.
Jace's not short for Jason. It's just Jace.
No,
it's
just Jace.
God damn.
That's just pompous enough.
Wow.
I actually have a student named Jace. Wow. So yeah.
He's an asshole.
So yeah, they're having that conversation.
I know he's only like three, but.
And then they get introduced and they walk on. Woo!
Everyone claps because they're the most popular couple.
Oh, yay. It's J&J.
Yep. And then we come back to graduation where the principal is apologizing because the valedictorian is supposed to give a speech, but no one's quite sure where she is.
Ooh, I've got it. What do you guys think of this? So the principal is making excuses, and all of a sudden the scene is cut by a scream. Somebody is shouting, points up in a tree. We see in the branches there is a fluttering graduation robe that is shredded and bloody.
Ooh.
Right.
Oh, sh.
Oh, and it's a graduation robe and cap,
and the
valedictorian's castle is on the cap.
We cut to the sheriff's office, and Sheriff Spence goes, "Looks like we got ourselves a missing persons case."
It cuts to Jace. Talking to Curtis.
If you want to know what happened to Julie, why are you asking me? You should be talking to that prick, Billy.
Billy? Oh. Billy DuPont, huh? Writing notes.
We cut back to prom, and we see Billy staring jealously at, or enviously.
Billy standing outside behind bushes, staring through the windows into the school gym where the prom is.
At Jace and Julie dancing.
As they're crowned, he's standing outside with wearing a black hoodie with the hood up.
There's a cut to a kitchen table in a house, and at that table you find Kitty talking to Sheriff Spencer, and she's saying, "And you promised me that you would stop all this foolishness." And Sheriff Spence goes, "I know, but I have to finish this one last case."
And then the next scene is Curtis slamming down the phone. It goes, "Sheriff, we got a lead up at the old Henderson farm."
you just get a cut. It just cuts to an interrogation room, and there's a guy standing there, and a janitor's outfit, and his name tag just says Len. He's sort of a strange looking guy with big thick glasses and a thinning hairline, and he says, "As I was cleaning the halls, I'd go by her locker every day. She's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen."
And then it cuts to the sheriff or the deputy running through the woods, chasing some shadowy figure who ducks into a barn. And then as the sheriff or the deputy run in, there's a blinding flash of lights and a really weird, indescribable noise. And then the light's gone, and the guy that they chased it is nowhere to be seen, and there's just, a weird burn mark on the floor. There's a burn mark, and, it goes up, and there's a hole in the roof of the shed. So the last scene is a shot of the sheriff and the deputy standing in the burn mark looking up, and the camera just, pulls out and up and up and up and up and up until the barn is just, a speck.
And Sheriff Spence's last line, "Well, sir, this has got a whole lot more interest."
All right.
What a montage we've just created.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
Because that's totally how it would end. Pulling up.
I think we should just add one thing in just right before it switches to the last chase. I think we should say that Len was a red herring, and it just cuts to a scene of them busting down his door, and he's just hanging.
Oh, so Len's dead.
Len is dead. He was one of the prime suspects, and he hanged himself.
I think we should also add in a scene of Patricia, the punked out kid, talking to Billy. "My dad is going to pin this on you unless we work together."
unless we find out
who really did it.
Well, no, not what happened. They don't know. Yeah. No one did it.
Well, unless we find out what really happened.
Yeah,
that's right. Because she's.
Well, we also have to add in. Why would I kill her? I loved her. And then it would cut to Patricia telling Julie telling him. Billy, you just have to be patient. Once we graduate, I'll leave Jace. We'll run away together. And then it just cuts to them laughing.
Leave Paradise Bluff?
Ha ha ha, you're so funny.
And then it just pulls back and you're standing there watching them. And then it goes to the whole chase, the shadowy chase thing. I think that's all that we need, right?
Yeah, no, that's just about
it. Are there any plot points we missed?
Just Curtis's dad telling him he doesn't have what it takes to be a police officer.
Oh yeah, there has to be shots of Curtis hooking up with
he's
the alien
with Kelly's
Kelly.
Yeah. He's the alien.
Yeah.
We've just cast our alien. It's Tommy Wiseau. Okay.
So there has to be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There has to be shots of. Of Curtis Wheeler hooking up with Kelly. This
is the way they would do it. Kelly says, if my dad found out about this, he would kill you. And then immediately cuts to the sheriff.
Right.
Like yelling at someone.
Or it just cuts to the sheriff. Like, with yelling at his daughter at her for something like the next day. So that so you're
never here, Dad.
I told you not to leave used condoms all over the place.
What are you talking about?
Did we miss anything? Oh, Ivar. Did we want to get Ivar?
Oh yeah, we definitely should get Ivar in.
Just need one line from him.
There's a big bald Russian guy shaving the sheriff and goes, I do not know what you would think to find here, Sheriff. This is just a barber shop.
And just he shaves him with a straight razor. He shaves him, and there's a very tiny pinprick of blood.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
Slipped a little.
How careless of me.
All right. So this is the season 2 premiere. We open up on, how do you want to make your entrance, Ed? Do you want to just barge into the sheriff's office and be like, hey, I'm the Fed, I'm here,
or what? I think...
It's a musical?
Oh, no.
Already? In the first episode? We have to go a little further before you jump the shark.
That's like season 5.
Season 3 opened with the music. It was with Juliet.
That's not a musical.
A music number, right?
It's not even a music number. That was a montage set to music.
Yeah. I know, I was actually thinking that, bite my lip and close my eyes, take me away to paradise.
Green Day.
What's the name of the song?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But that song is playing.
Okay.
And it's just like you see like a black sedan
driving in the town. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
driving down the street.
And we
cut away the people looking at the car. Right.
Mm-hmm. All the familiar locations and characters.
Yeah. Yeah, all the interstitial characters Longview. That were introduced. Yeah,
Longview,
that, were
yeah
right. that were introduced in the first Longview. Season. Or looking at the black Crown Vic as it rides into the
Ivar is in his barbershop flipping the sign from closed to open. And
he just peels into the sheriff's office and the parking lot. That is the office.
Hi, I'm the Fed. Good, you're under arrest.
He pulls into a park. He just peels in. Skids into a parking lot.
Can we say that
he parks in the sheriff's spot?
Yeah, he parks in this in a spot that says reserved for sheriffs and sheriff's deputy.
And then the song, like, it just stops because he turns the car radio off.
I get it.
And he gets out of the car, he closes his door. And everybody is, because the sheriff's office is probably, like, in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So everybody's watching him. He's got his sunglasses on.
He's smoking.
Yeah. He's got a cigarette. He's wearing a suit, and he's got some slicked back hair. No, he's not smoking. He has a cigarette behind his ear. He hasn't lit up yet. And he's wearing sunglasses, and he walks into the sheriff's office.
And just as he opens the door, you hear Curtis saying, I swear, Sheriff, it was the damnedest thing I ever saw.
Like a shaft of light, fire that seemed to come from nowhere, and a big big scorched circle. Am I right? He takes out a cigarette from behind his ear and lights it.
Wouldn't smoke that thing in here.
You don't have to.
I prefer you didn't.
Sorry.
Oh, no, 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 no. He has to be vaping.
It's just vapor. It's just water vapor.
Just water vapor. He's got one of those e-cigs.
Oh. Suck up a robot's dick.
But it tastes so good.
I mean no disrespect or anything, but bottom line is I've been trying to quit for a while. My wife's been on me, and I don't like to take the frustration.
It's a terrible habit. You're a better man than me, sir.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
I get really excited sometimes, and I totally forget to introduce myself. Fox. I'm Fox. Cooper. Fox Cooper. From the Federal Bureau of Investigation, you probably would want to know that, too. The FBI.
We know what the FBI is.
Sorry, you just didn't say anything.
Pardon me if I don't get up. It's been a long day.
Sheriff, did you call the feds on this one?
No, I thought you did. I think it might have been Harold.
Harold!
Yeah?
You call the feds?
Hell no! I ain't calling no G-Man.
Francine?
What do you want?
Yeah. Did you call the feds, darling?
Called nobody.
Perhaps I should end this little game of who called the feds.
Please do.
I am actually on leave and took a long vacation. I read about your little incident in the paper. Or at least what you put in the paper. Mysterious disappearance, chased a guy into a barn, there was some fire damage. I pieced together the rest myself. Perhaps I should start from the beginning.
Oh, please do.
Well, I am something of a paranormal expert. Something that gets me a little bit of ribbing back at the main office. And I've come across this before.
Come across what, exactly?
Disappearances, just like your man.
Girl.
Just like your man in the barn. Or woman. No idea who it was.
Well, okay, so what we're saying here is you've come across a situation before that. Okay, let me put it this way. We had a girl disappear here. Pretty yes. much off the face of the earth.
I've heard about that. I'm very sorry.
And the man we thought we found that knew it and knew about it vanished before our eyes in a flash of light.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen that before?
Well, not the missing girl. Well, I've seen that, but not connected to the flash of light. But I have come across people disappearing in a ball of light.
How do you explain that?
Well, that's kind of the idea, isn't it? That's why I showed up. Haven't been able to put a nail in that one yet.
So, you showed up to tell us you don't know what happened.
Oh, I showed up to find out what happened. With you.
Great.
I haven't gotten your names yet.
Please.
I'm Deputy Wheeler.
Wheeler.
Sheriff Spencer.
So let me ask you, what is... Because I'm Deputy Wheeler is wearing, like, you know, the khaki shirt with the brown pants and the boot. Does the sheriff... For some reason, I picture you in a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
I'm picturing, like, cowboy hat, sports jacket, and jeans kind of sheriff.
Yep.
Okay.
white short sleeve Oxford shirt, button-up shirt. No, it's not, no long sleeves in there.
No.
I'm Sheriff Spencer. This is my town.
It's a fine little town you have here. I...
Used to be.
Well... Tragic history with notwithstanding, it's still a mighty pretty sight.
And where are you from, Agent Cooper?
Well, right now I'm based out of Quantico, but I originally come from Milwaukee. Have you ever been to Milwaukee?
Can't say that I have.
You ever been to a Brewers game? They got them running sausages.
Dang, I love those things.
And you decided to take vacation to come investigate our light.
Well, as such, the FBI doesn't really have any interest in, no offense, a missing girl. But I do.
Okay, so, can you shed any light on the situation?
Well, I'd have to take a look at what you have so far.
We got a guy who disappeared in a big ball of light. And a missing girl.
We got a couple of photographs. And if you want, you can get in that fancy black car of yours and we can take you out in the field and show you what happened.
About this time, you guys hear the bell at the sheriff's office. It's your daughter, Kelly. She is looking none too pleased.
How you doing, Pumpkin?
Papa, don't start with me. I just saw the morning paper.
Curtis conveniently finds something else to do. Oh, gotta go make some more coffee.
Mama is livid.
Ryan, she's young and hot. She doesn't have the accent.
Okay. Mama is livid.
I don't know, the accent could be pretty hot.
That's true, but I feel like the all-American...
Girls don't have...
True, yeah. Non-regional dialect.
Yeah.
Livid, huh?
You have one, because you're a writer.
Guess the word is out?
Yep.
They printed your candidacy this morning.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Like I told her, I can't leave this office with this case hanging over my head. I would not forgive myself. And if that means I have to come in for the and go for re-election one more term, I'm going to do it.
This is a bit.
Julie would want that.
This is a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, make more coffee.
Julie's parents want that. I want that. Good coffee.
Papa, you promised. You promised we were going to spend more time together.
I know what I promised, and it's not like I didn't make this girl disappear. Curtis.
What? I didn't make her disappear.
No, that's not what I mean. Can you please escort my daughter out?
Oh, he puts the pot down on the thing. Yeah, sure. Miss Spencer, let's get you back to your car.
Can I cleverly pick up on the sexual tension that everyone else is missing?
Wait. You mean, no one is missing it.
I'm the only one missing it.
Sure, Curtis. See me out.
No, Kurt.
Kurt.
I take her and walk out. What's going on?
You could have warned me.
Old man didn't tell me until he already filed the paperwork. And then we had that whole thing with the light. It's been crazy. I'm sorry.
You keep talking about this light. What happened to you and Papa? He had like got a wink of sleep last night.
Yeah. It was crazy. We'll start walking down the block and I'll exposition her.
Okay.
Will you now?
Oh, yeah. So...
Right there on the street.
I will exposition her all night long. So,
I will fill her in, if you know what I mean.
She will be completely satisfied with knowledge.
By the time I'm done, she will know all the cogent parts of this story.
It cuts back to the sheriff, and he's having a conversation with Harold, and suddenly he's tapped on the shoulder.
May I help you?
Crullers and coffee for the ride.
Well, did you bring it?
He's holding Crawler. There's like a station where there's coffee and donuts.
Okay. Yeah.
And he has three crawlers in his hand and one of those like styrofoam trays with three coffees and crawlers and coffee for the road. For the ride.
Curtis! The man brought coffee.
Curtis comes running back in. Well, we should probably get going then.
I'll drive.
Alright, so you guys are going back to the old Henderson farm where you had your encounter with the aliens, maybe?
The bright light Bernie ground thing, yes.
Meyer, what is Billy DuPont up to at the beginning of this episode?
Beginning of season two.
I don't know. What do the writers make my character do?
You could be meeting clandestinely with Patricia, comparing notes. She could run over to him and alert him that this federal agent's in town.
All right, that's a good scene. I like it. So what is Billy doing this morning? He's at his garage working on his bike.
He'd probably be
he's got a beer. He's wearing a wife beater,
some oil,
right?
Yeah.
All right, so. Billy is like on the ground working on the engine, and we see a leather boot steps into frame and taps impatiently against the concrete. You can hear the just tap, 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 tap. And we slowly crane up the person's body and they cross their arms, and eventually you get to the spiky haircut. And Patricia goes, Billy.
What?
I don't have all morning, God.
If you wanted me, use your word instead of being passive aggressive.
She's played by a young Lacey Chabert. Like, basically what everybody thinks of when they think of Lacey Chabert, because she's not famous anymore.
Billy, something big happened last night up at the old Henderson farm.
What?
I don't know. My dad came home last night, and he was a wreck.
Wait, was it part of the investigation with Julie?
He came in like a wreck! I think so. He was talking with the deputy. They seemed really spooked. And did you see that black Crown Vic? I think the feds are in town.
What? No, not fast enough. What the? Feds?
Yeah, as in the FBI.
All right. Well, I think I'm gonna go head over to that shed then. Before everyone else does. See what I can find.
I'll come with you.
Okay.
Alright, so we're both heading up to the old... Everybody's heading up to the old Henderson farm. I love
it. Very well. Yeah.
Alright. So who arrives first? I'll let you guys decide.
I would say we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because then, they could definitely... I think them showing up with our car there and then ducking behind, a bush or something would be, would probably work.
But my lip and close my eyes.
So we'll arrive first.
All right. It is a very rural dirt road leading past a barbed wire fence, everything, since it's the old Henderson place, I'm picturing everything is overgrown.
Oh, yeah.
There's an overgrown for sale sign that the Crown Vic pulls past. Or are you guys taking the squad car?
The squad car. He's in the back.
Yeah.
Shoot, who's in the face?
Are these homemade?
Well, they're, Betty makes them in the store.
I have to meet this Betty.
You bought them from her.
Oh, delightful woman. Yeah. Wonderful banker.
The squad car pulls up to a decrepit barn with a large hole in the roof.
A large, perfectly circular
perfect, hole. Yeah.
There's a tarp over the hole now, and yellow crime scene tape in front of all the doors to the barn.
And there she is.
Go ahead, Curtis, you take him on over there. I'm going to walk around the back, see if there's anything we could have missed.
All right, Sheriff. I get out and open the door so the the Fed can get out of the back. Oh, no, no, no. I get up. We both walk away for a second. Oops, almost forgot. Let me go open the door.
Thank you.
Welcome. He,
Fox gets up. He, you, the two of us walk over to the barn.
Curtis lifts some of the tape so that Fox can duck under.
Fox ducks under. He makes his way to the center of the room and proceeds to sit cross-legged on the floor.
In the burn mark or before it?
Just, like, in the middle of the room. Like, okay. Not near the burn mark. And then just lays back and puts his hands over his head.
That, that's some kind of method they teach you at Quantico?
No. But, I did learn this from an old Tibetan monk. It's a way to observe the entire room, all at the same time, with all five senses.
I mean, it looks like you're doing a good job of observing the ceiling.
Can I carefully, observe the room and notice, like, something that they haven't noticed yet?
Yeah, sure.
All right, that is... Careful is plus two. So that's two.
Two successes. Two shifts.
Right, so it succeeds with no cost.
Yeah. You know what? you stand up and you go right to a specific spot in the floor. And you scrape away a layer of topsoil with your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some kind of a strong box buried there.
Okay. Can I say, instead of getting up, well, from laying in the position, he says...
You like seems, crab walk?
He says, you've been doing... You're getting a pretty good view of the ceiling. And I say... and then I say... Oh, by the way... Have you guys looked at the strong box in the corner of the room that's buried under the fourth tile? That's buried under the fourth plank.
The what now?
and then he sort of shimmies to his feet and walks over. Come. And he brushes away some debris and pulls up a plank and pulls out a strong box.
Now there's a big old rusted padlock on it.
Well, I'll be damned.
Still locked.
All right, so we cut to the sheriff, who's wandering around the back of the barn.
Yeah.
And consequently, Billy and Patricia. So here's the thing. Sheriff's going to notice you.
Uh-oh.
Unless
you can make a
sneak check. I'll let you do it for the both of you. And if you're just looking around.
Yeah.
No, all right.
I know there was a skill that was...
But not until afterwards.
Either careful or... either careful or clever.
I would say careful, because I'm not trying to... Yeah. I'm just trying to see in a brighter light what's going on.
Right.
All right, so I roll these. Okay.
So you got minus
two
one.
Many. I have two minuses.
Oh, two minuses.
Yep.
So then you add that to plus three.
So I have a plus one.
Plus one.
Plus four.
Plus four, all right. The sheriff takes a look out back. You and Patricia are scrambling through the brush, and you see, you see her dad, and you, and he looks around and misses you. All right.
I'm not looking for you, so that's why. Yeah. You know.
Oh, okay. Excuse. Just stay put. Just listen. Maybe we can overhear some of that conversation.
No, this is a barn. Would there be a door on my side of the barn too?
Or? Yeah, sure. There's a door on both sides.
All right, so I open the door. How's it going,
Sheriff? Found a strong box. Do you have any bolt cutters in the car?
You don't need bolt cutters.
From this distance, Billy, you can't quite hear what they're saying. You're gonna have to get closer.
Okay, I'll sneak. Can I? What do I make a sneak again?
Yeah.
Sneaky.
I'm very sneaky, my best one. Again, plus four.
Plus four. Okay, where are you hiding? You going, like, on the other side of the barn door so they can't see you, or?
Is there, like, a ladder? There's a barn. Can I use, like, a loft? Like,
you can climb up.
You mean there's, like, a hay croft?
The hay loft.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you climb up into the very slowly and sneakily.
Yeah.
The sheriff reaches into the breast pocket.
There's a downed tree from the explosion last night that's, like, in the window that he just sort of...
Shimmies up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the sheriff reaches into his breast pocket, pulls out a piece of chewing gum, puts it in his mouth. He goes, hold on a second. Grabs the baton off of his waist and forcefully cracks down on the butt end of it onto the lock.
All right.
So I got... two pluses and a minus, so these cancel out.
Yeah.
So I got a plus three.
That'll do it, I think. So the way, just to remind everybody who hasn't played Fate before, the way aspects work is if you feel like you can get a bonus out of one of your aspects, you can invoke it either before you roll or after you roll, whenever you want, and that'll give you a plus two, or it'll let you re-roll if you don't like what you rolled.
All right.
Basically, you'd be like, I'm too badass to fail.
You can invoke it after you roll, too, right?
Yes.
If you roll and you want more pluses, then you can invoke it.
Oh, like, if you really wanted to succeed on that roll to find Meyer, you could.
Right. Okay. No, it made sense plot-wise for me not to see him.
Yeah.
So, and it also makes sense for me plot-wise to come in there with a billy club, break the lock in front of the... hoity-toity little federal agent.
Yeah. So the lock splits. It is very old and rusted, and it thumps to the wood plank floor.
Bolt cutters.
I like you, Sheriff.
I don't know anything about you yet, but why don't you take a look inside? You wanted to see it.
Well, unless you want to do the honors, Deputy.
We found it.
All right. Let's see what we've got here.
And I will open the lid.
Okay. Commercial break.
Yes. we come back. Yeah, oh my.
Oh my God.
It's just porn.
we come back from commercial, and we see that Agent Cooper has taken handfuls of paper out of the strongbox. It's all old and yellowed. There are several photographs. There seems to be a crudely drawn map of the area with certain parts of town circled. With question marks. There's a list of dates. There are grainy, blown-up black-and-white photographs of trees at night and strange lights in the sky.
Ooh, can we say that some of the pictures are similar burn marks to the one in the barn?
Yeah, there's exactly. There's a picture of an open field with a crop circle with a similar burn mark in it.
What the hell is this?
Do these pictures mean anything to you, fellas?
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, that field with that building there, you think that's, Jeb Dawson's place?
Looks like it.
Oh, Kreller lady. Betty, right?
What about her?
He points to a picture.
Yeah,
there's a photograph of a much younger Betty.
That must be her back in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, she works in a bakery now. Surrounded by sweets all day.
Suppose Crullers aren't kind to the figure.
Who? What, would I recognize... It's an area, like, I'm sorry, is the area, like, is this town reference too?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all photographs from around town.
Okay. on a crude map of the area, could I, by just by looking at it, could I kind of get an idea like where an X might be, the high school, where the high school is now?
I'll just throw that back at you.
Okay,
are the X's?
All right.
Where are the areas marked out on the map?
Okay.
Well, not the Henderson Farm.
No.
Because it's too old.
Right.
So, Jeb's Field.
Right.
Which we said. Maybe the area that's now the high school.
Yeah.
Let's say...
The football field. Where the football field is, high school.
Because the old high school was... Let's say the old high school was built on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
And then they knocked it down, and they expanded the area.
Right.
So that football field is where the high school was when the town was, like, first built.
All right.
City Hall.
In City Hall?
Yeah, Town Hall.
Yeah, go for it. All right.
The church.
Cemetery.
I like that, the cemetery.
Yeah.
Cemetery.
And then one or two others that we can decide
later. All right.
All right. So, you guys hear a rustling noise from outside.
What the?
What's Russell doing here?
Rustling. That's what Russell
I'm going to... Kurt puts his hand on his gun, unclips his holster, and slowly walks outside.
I'm going to just... Because I want her to get noticed. You come across the sheriff's younger daughter, Patricia.
What? Patricia, what are you doing here?
Hi, Kurt. I saw the squad car. I didn't know you... What are you guys doing here?
It's part of the investigation. Go home, because if your father catches you out here, he's going to kill you. No, he's going to skin you.
You want me to go? Really? Okay.
Yes!
Really? You want me to go? I mean, come on.
Okay. Are you sure I can't? So, like...
As she's looking around like,
you're going to have to, like, talk her into leaving. She's playing, like, you know, she...
I love that. You have to,
this is serious business.
All right, yeah, I'll roll forceful.
You want me to go?
What?
I'm going to say your difficulty is +2.
That's what I got, okay. +2.
So that means you can succeed at a minor cost.
Yeah, he says the minor cost is I find out.
Yeah, that's exactly. So you can convince her to go, but you're going to have to yell loud enough that the sheriff hears you.
I mean, it's no skin off my nose, really. She's the one who's going to get in trouble. So, yeah, so Patricia Spencer, get the hell out of here.
What seems to be the problem out there, Curtis?
Nothing, Sheriff. Just scaring away some of the local kids deciding to follow us.
I want to bring Meyer into the scene. Can I cleverly notice him in the hayloft?
Yeah, Meyer, you want to oppose that?
Yes.
Yes, I oppose you.
Let's see, that is...
Snakes.
Only +3.
I got +3 also.
So, you tie. Does anyone want to invoke an aspect?
Let's see.
If you want to do something creepy, you can.
Yeah, I'll do something creepy. I'll be the free. I'll invoke an aspect.
Okay, so you're invoking the freaky Fred.
Yeah. So I'm gonna, while they're having this conversation, I'm gonna kneel down to the floor right underneath where he is. I'm gonna pick up a piece of hay, put it in my mouth, swish it around, spit it out. Look up and say, and I'm going to say, oh, Sheriff, you should probably ask her about the fellow hiding in the hayloft as well.
Meyer, I'll give you a fate point. Since you have a bad reputation, I feel like this would be good for your character if you just get caught.
Okay, I'm being caught.
Oh, no, better yet, he gets caught trying to run away.
All right, I like that, too.
All right.
So now Meyer, like, leaps out of the hayloft and lands, like, 5 feet from me, talking to Pat Patricia.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, you son of a bitch! And I just, like, tackle him.
All right, so Sheriff...
Sheriff Spencer enters the, exits the barn and emerges on the other side.
You see your daughter, Patricia, and the town hood, Billy DuPont, currently struggling against your deputy.
Creepy Cooper walks out with like a long strand of hay in his mouth, just sort of chewing on it.
This is not the kind of thing I needed to see today. What in the hell are you doing out here, and what in the hell are you doing with him?
Curtis grabs Billy and, like, gets him on his feet.
Is it illegal to hang out in the haylofts?
In crime scenes, yeah.
I didn't know it was a crime scene.
Oh, so that tape is just there for decoration?
It's not his fault, Dad. I put him up to it.
I'm sorry. I don't believe I understood that. You brought him out here?
Listen, we've been looking into this whole thing. You tried to pin Julie's disappearance on Billy, and Billy is a good kid.
You don't know anything about being a good kid.
Oh, shots fired.
You don't know about a good father.
You did not want to do that.
He still has a Billy club.
All right. I'm sorry.
Curtis says that.
You did not want to do that. I'm sorry to step in on what's obviously a family matter, but perhaps, young man, you look like an intelligent young man to me. Yeah. By the way, Fox Cooper, it's nice to meet you, and you are?
He's with the FBI.
Oh. Billy DuPont.
Billy, I'm sure that whatever has been said in the heat of the moment we can put behind us, and we can just talk about what you are doing here. And you can be honest with me. Can I make that a clever persuade?
Here's the thing. You can't really use social skills on other PCs. Are you trying to get him to trust you? Like,
I just kind of want to put him at ease and get him to realize that, like, maybe, like, he can let his guard down.
All right. You don't even have to roll for that, but, you know, Meyer, you get the sense that this guy's on the level. He might be able to get you out of this, because as it is, you're fixing to spend the day in the lockup.
Yeah.
Because I think the sheriff is pretty angry at you and probably wouldn't hesitate to throw you in lockup.
It's not the first time, it won't be the last time.
Why don't we just make it not a time at all?
I step in between the conversation that's going on with my rather imposing figure. Really? I don't like you hanging out with my daughter. I don't need you bringing your problems into my life. It's real simple. As of now, we have no reason to suspect you of any foul play. Do not give me a reason to do so. I suspect you should get in your car and drive away.
Mostly.
That too.
Before you go, young man, if I could ask you, obviously it seems that there might have been a reason to suspect you at one point. The missing girl, Julie, yes?
Yes.
How did you know her?
Biblically.
Fine-looking right. Young man, but like yourself, I'm not surprised.
You see, Pat makes a face at that.
Curtis gets a look from the sheriff and lets go of Billy.
Well, Billy, I don't suggest you hang around crime scenes like this.
No, not often.
Well, I'm going to give you my card. That's my cell phone number. If you have anything that you'd like to add to the situation, maybe something about last night, Or anything about Julie's disappearance. I'd love to hear from you.
All right, I'm free to go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Get off.
I'll let you go.
Oh, okay.
Cooper, you could have asked me. We've asked him everything there is to know about the disappearance. That's why we cleared him in the first place.
I understand that, and I do plan on asking you, but from what I can see, you have a personal relationship with this young man, whether you like it or not. He might not be so forthcoming with you as he would be with a complete stranger.
This is Paradise Bluff, sir. There's a personal relationship with everyone here.
All the more reason to have a complete stranger in town.
So, yeah,
there's nothing a small town loves more than a complete stranger snooping into all their business.
When people are suspicious, they make mistakes. When people are suspicious of other people, that's when they let their guard down and make mistakes.
You guys hear the sound of a car pulling into the drive behind your squad car.
Oh, who now?
I don't know, but whoever it is uses premium in their gas tank.
Walk around the barn to...
We walk up together.
Everybody walks around the barn, and you guys see pearl white Rolls have just pulled into the drive behind the squad car. A driver in a driving cap and gloves walks around to the back and opens the door for a tallish, very, very beautiful girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, and just absolutely dressed to the nines.
I immediately drop my pants and start masturbating.
Wow.
That's on primetime television. Yeah. Very well.
No, I'm kidding.
Where's your beeper now?
They censor that out with one of those black bars.
It's just blurry.
Just like in life.
Yeah, my junk is blurry.
So here's where things start getting weird.
Now things start getting weird.
Yeah, right. I walked away.
It's up to you. You could have walked away. You left.
Yeah, I'm on the other because my I'm not there. I walked the other way.
Yeah, you know what? If he went scene wise, he probably ran to his bike. He takes off on his bike.
Yeah.
We hear the car come up on the other side. Yeah. So we let him go, and we turn around, and we go this way.
All right. Patricia is just sort of tagging along with you, right?
Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do? Her ride?
Yeah, oh, she's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure she probably tried to go, and you just, like, put your hand on her shoulder or something.
All right, we'll be going now, Daddy.
Oh, no. You're not going anywhere.
A woman steps out of the back of the car. You have never seen her before in your life. She walks up to you and she goes, "Deputy Sheriff Spencer,
can I help you, miss? Or can we help you, miss?"
So here's the thing. You feel this weird sensation in your mind.
In your mind,
which is located in this area.
In your heart.
Your mind is in your breasts.
In your breasts.
your
big voluptuous mind.
Yes.
Two lobes are just heaving.
You're showing so much brain cleavage.
Yes. You feel this odd sensation.
Do I feel this too?
No, but they do. Like something is trying to force its way into your thoughts and into your memories. So the question is, do you let it? Do you let this happen?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no.
So you two have never seen this person before,
right,
in your life.
Yeah. Can I help you? Can we help you, miss?
It's me, Miss St. Clair.
I'm sorry. Are we supposed to know who that is?
Heir to the St. Clair foot powder fortune?
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's, yours is definitely a face I would remember, and, not ringing any bells. Sheriff?
Sheriff, my father has been a contributor to the... to your campaign every time you've run, twice in a row.
I know the name St. Clair. I don't know you, and I've never seen you.
She's going to use one of her moves.
To force herself upon Derek?
Yes.
You lucky bastard.
I don't know if being mine.
How old is she?
She is in her. You know, since everybody else is sort of high school or you know post high school age.
Yeah.
She is in her early 20s.
I think I'm 30-ish.
Early or late or mid.
So she 30s. Derek.
Yeah.
You feel this weird stab of pain in your mind, mm-hmm. which is totally up here.
In your mind,
not here. Just
not,
in case.
Not there.
No.
Not in the brain boobs.
Not in the brain boobs. She has added an aspect to your character. you are in debt to the St. Clairs.
Okay.
Well, Sheriff, as you know, my father is looking for land to expand the foot powder factory. The foot powder factory, and he has purchased the old Henderson place. So this is now my property. I would like an update as to what is going on here.
Ma'am, what is your first name again?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, I'm sure you would like to know what's going on here, and as soon as we figure out what's going on here, I would be more than happy to clue you in on the situation. All I can tell you is at this time we are investigating another avenue in the disappearance of Julie Simpson. There was an event here recently that we are attempting to discern, and we've brought in some extra insight to do that.
An event? Oh dear. I hope this won't create any scheduling delays. We're supposed to have all this demolished beginning of next week.
Have I heard anything about this, Ryan?
Nope, not at all.
Miss St. Clair, when did you come into possession of the Henderson, Henderson, right?
Yeah.
Of the Henderson farm?
Oh, just this morning, in fact.
Well, after the events.
After the events.
Wait, I'm sorry. Foot powder? What? What are you talking about?
Did you purchase the...
Do I know St. Clair foot powder?
No, you've never heard the name before.
Is Mr. Henderson still alive?
Oh, no.
So who currently, or who until this morning, owned the land?
It's up for lien.
Right.
No one owned it.
Right.
The bank. The county?
Town owned it.
And
yeah, old man Henderson, he didn't have any children. Or any family we know of. Just, you know... Come to think of it, he just kind of disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a little bit before my time, Sheriff. But,
listen.
Back to the matter at hand. Who the hell are you?
As I said, my name is Vanessa St. Clair.
Yeah, right. We got that. St. Clair Foot Powder.
foot powder, yes.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
I do believe it is. If you look over there, my father's factory is right there. You look over, and there is a building that you have never seen before in your life.
Now, I may have just arrived, but this probably still...
I will ask you. You feel the same sensation of something probing at your thoughts. Do you let it happen, or do you fight it?
I'll fight it.
Okay, so yeah, that building was not there before.
That is...
new.
Yeah. How did you do that? I'm gonna like walk over like I'm looking for like a screen or something, like waving my hands. There's nothing here. How did you do that? Was that like an inflatable thing or something?
The factory has been here since the 60s.
No, it hasn't.
It hasn't been there since this morning, my dear.
Sheriff, tell us she's crazy.
Derek.
Yeah.
I'm going to compel your aspect indebted to the Hendersons.
Mm-hmm.
You might not understand why,
right?
But you have to keep this girl happy.
Right.
So here's the thing. Either you do that, mm-hmm. and you get another fate point that you can spend later.
Right.
Or you give me a fate point, and you can do whatever you want.
No, no, no. I'll allow the compelling. I can. Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
So you get a fate point.
All right.
And you may not remember who this girl is.
Right.
But you are indebted to the Hendersons. You know that.
The St. Clairs.
The St. Clairs. Right. Sorry.
That's all right.
Jeez, Ryan. So you haven't even watched the show.
Man.
It's not like St. Clair. It sounds like Henderson.
I'm sorry.
What the hell?
The factory has been there since the 60s, but you purchased the land this morning.
Well, we're expanding the factory.
Gentlemen, I would be happy to fill in whatever I can. We'll hold back. We'll go back to the office and we'll talk about it.
Wait, fill in. That factory wasn't there like 10 minutes ago when we showed up.
I understand what you. I understand how you feel. I understand what you're thinking.
And who is this? Who is this chick?
Yeah, and
I'm gonna stand on my head.
Okay.
And try to read her and get a read on her and, like, what her deal is.
Look, if she's connected to who she says she's connected to...
What, the St. Clair family?
Yes.
That's so not a
Ed,
thing!
Ed, you can go with...
Clever.
Clever, yeah.
All right.
Can I also try to cleverly assess the situation?
You see who she is?
Yeah.
I'm gonna... Where did you use another fate point? Because that was
that's
a
plus
really
four
fat,
for right? me.
Well, no, that would only be plus one, so that's not bad.
All right.
That's what I wrote.
So, yeah, plus one.
She smirks and she opens up. She's got a little handbag. She pulls out her wallet and takes out her driver's license, passes it over to you. It says that she is Vanessa St. Clair.
Is this? I mean, I got four. I'm a deputy. Is this a real license?
Yeah, it's a real.
I'm smudging.
It's an address in town. It's an address in town that doesn't exist.
Okay, see, there's where you made your mistake. It's not a real address. There is no Berkshire Road.
Berkshire is a very exclusive property. We own the St. Clair Estate is the only residence on Berkshire Road.
Yeah, there's no St. Clair Estate.
I think
so. This is where you tripped yourself up. You came in here all hoity-toity, and now your lie's going too big.
I'm standing on my head. Is she lying? Like, what read am I getting on her? Is she lying?
You see, she seems to fit right in here. You've never been in this town before, but you know.
So she doesn't. It doesn't seem like she's lying, or she's.
Then yeah, she believes everything she's saying.
I hop back to my feet,
Curtis.
What?
Come here.
Excuse me, Miss St. Clair.
Now, I'm not saying that she's genuine, but she believes every word she says. She's not a liar.
Well, she's not from here, either.
Well, maybe we're dealing with a genuine, bona fide psychopath.
Yeah, this is a real license, though. As in, issued by the state.
A genuine, bona fide psychopath with resources.
The your daughter steps forward. She goes, "Now wait a minute. If you're claiming that this factory over there that just appeared was here for 40 years, your family lives in town. When did you graduate from Paradise Bluff High School?"
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, Vanessa.
Vanessa
looks
over.
Patricia.
Either way, it, who you refer to as is fine. I thought you were saying like,
yeah, I thought you were saying that to Vanessa.
That's a good question, Vanessa.
Vanessa looks over and she goes, "We said Patricia was a senior now."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, junior.
No, she's a senior now.
She was a junior.
She's an incoming senior.
Right. Yeah.
I graduated 3 years ago. You were a freshman when I was a senior, Patricia. You guys see... she goes, "You were a freshman when I was a senior, Patricia, so why don't you butt out?" You guys see an amorphous shape that billows out from within and behind this woman. It is sort of halfway between a shadow and a flame, and part of it reaches out and strikes Patricia right in the chest.
Oh, wow. That's your
glitch. And she goes rigid for a second, and then she just goes, "Yeah, I should really just butt out."
Kurt draws his gun.
Yeah, my gun comes out, too.
All right!
What the hell was that?
What was what?
Put your hands, however many of them that you have, up in the air.
Gentlemen, I think you'll find that everything is in proper order. I think Patricia now knows her place, and we can move on. But fine, very well. She raises her hands. Your daughter is just sort of sitting there, staring off into the middle distance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna. Kurt slowly walks up to Vanessa.
My gun is still on.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah. Takes the purse from her hand, tosses it to the ground, and then spins her around and cuffs her.
Now, I've never seen anything like that trick you just pulled. So
there's really no need for this, Deputy Wheeler. So what is the sheriff doing at this point?
I'm not sure.
You could help them arrest Vanessa.
I'm just trying. Yeah, because I'm just trying to.
What's her driver doing?
I'm trying to.
He's just waiting there patiently.
I'm trying to work in the fact that you know that there's now been a rewritten aspect, and trying to come to grips with that at the same. So I'm trying to figure out what now.
I mean, you're perfectly within your rights to be like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Right. I know suddenly that I have I'm indebted to the St. Clair family for some reason, but I don't know why. And I do believe that the building wasn't with them as far as that's concerned.
Yes, you don't remember. It's sort of a weird. She has foisted that backstory upon you.
Right. Exactly. So that's what I'm just trying to come. Okay. All right, I go over to Patricia.
Okay.
Patricia.
Yes,
Patricia, and I'm like patting her on the face, like, you know, Patricia, come on, baby, come on. What is going on here?
Dad, I have to go right now. She starts to walk over to your police cruiser.
All right, baby girl, okay, All right.
Kurt kicks Vanessa's purse to Cooper. Check that out. And starts leading her to the
car. Rifle through her purse.
I take Patricia back to the car, put her in the front seat.
I throw Vanessa in the back.
Do I have to make any roll, or do I just rifle through the
purse? You know, you can rifle through the purse. You find an obscene amount of cash.
Civil forfeiture.
Yeah, civil forfeiture. We're taking that for the town. Credit cards, all in the right name. Let's go really trippy here. You find a class photo of her graduating class, folded neatly, and she is in it.
All right. I am going to look at it. Can I make a clever roll to see, like...
Or forged or anything. Yeah, go ahead.
That is plus 5.
No, it seems to be authentic.
And in the background is Patricia. Patricia.
Right.
Like, it's a picture of her and her friends standing there, and Patricia's walking in the background. Well, you may not remember Miss St. Clair, but it does look like she is on the up and up about whatever it is that she about being here.
No, that's obviously photoshopped.
Not.
You can do anything these days.
It's a Polaroid.
It's not proof of anything.
It's not photoshopped. Trust me.
Right, because what makes more sense? This woman has just magically appeared in town and has always been here, apparently, or that's a Photoshop picture and she's lying.
And what makes more sense, that Julie was abducted by some random stranger, or that somebody would disappear in a barn in a flash of light and there'd be a circle of fire?
That Julie was abducted by some random stranger, that makes a lot more sense.
Yes, but we know that that's not the case.
No, we don't.
So, Sheriff, what are you doing at this point? You left Patricia in the car?
Unless you have some other kind of information about Julie's disappearance that you haven't shared.
I'm standing next to the door of the car, and because he said he put Vanessa in the back.
I think we're all standing around the car right now.
Yeah, so I'm on the passenger side where Patricia is.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of watching this whole thing, and I'm listening to what they're saying, and I'm trying to justify what's going on in my own mind.
And now I think the two of us are arguing about...
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know anymore.
All right. With Denzel. Okay. All right. I see. All right. That's all I can do, but it's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right.
Then Morgan Freeman shows up. I'm going to meet my friend, Andy Dufresne. All right. Curtis, okay, you got to grab the car. I'm going to sit next to Patricia.
You guys hear the sound of a shotgun cocking.
That's not good.
I turn to the sound with
it's
my
coming
gun.
From inside the car.
Uh-oh.
Patricia's got the gun in her mouth, and she blows her own head off. There is a beat, and she, you know, she flops backwards on the front seat of the cruiser. And then her body starts to fade from reality in this really strange way. It's almost like it fuzzes out like a tracking problem in a bad VHS tape, and then it goes to snow, and then it's gone.
I failed my sand check.
Now you have no daughters.
Whatever role you had, you failed.
Oh yeah, Julie wasn't your daughter.
Unless it was flashy.
I was thinking for some reason I was like, Julie was your daughter.
Wait, Veronica did that?
Oh. No,
Patricia.
Patricia. There is no Veronica.
Push your button.
Okay.
Hold on. He needs to swear.
There you go. All
right. Holy shit!
No, wait. Holy shit!
What the hell?
I throw the door open and leap through the car to where Patricia was.
She's not there.
Yeah, she's gone.
Is there blood on the back seat?
No, nothing.
It's all gone.
It's all gone.
I'm gonna.
The service weapon is back, and it's.
I'm gonna aim my gun at
Vanessa.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. As I was saying, this is my property now. I feel like.
What did you do with the young lady, Patricia?
Patricia, the sheriff's daughter?
Yes.
Sheriff, you sent her away to boarding school 2 years ago, didn't you?
No.
Everyone knows that. You were worried about her growing drug and possibly alcohol issues, and you didn't like the company she was keeping. So you sent her off to boarding school. Everybody knows.
Stop talking.
I'm not sure what... Okay, look, this is real simple here, okay? I think I know that I owe your family something. I understand that. I think I know other things, but my daughter was just here until she blew her head off with a shotgun. And you must know something about it, because all of a sudden when you appeared, all this weird beep started happening.
Well, Sheriff, if you must take me and take me down to the station, and you can have a conversation with my father and all.
Vanessa, not another word.
Kurt takes a few stumbles backwards a bit.
She gives you one of those, you know.
No, she doesn't. She's handcuffed.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
Sheriff, why don't you ride passenger?
Wait. Kurt pulls out his cell phone and quickly dials Kelly.
No, oh, there you go.
Yeah. It rings. Hello?
Kelly, it's Kurt.
Wait, what happened to you?
I'm in shock.
Yeah, and he's just calling.
Where's your sister?
Patricia?
Yeah.
She's over at St. Agnes's.
What?
You know, over in Steubenville. High school for girls. I got a postcard from her the other day.
How long has she been there?
About a year, year and a half.
I just hang up. I just call Kelly. She says that Patricia's at boarding school.
All right, okay, get in the car. We're heading back. I am going to talk to your father, and then I'm going to talk to how you have my daughter's cell phone number in your phone. But we're not going to worry about that right now.
Sheriff, I don't think you're in a state to drive right now. Curtis, why don't you make sure that Vanessa doesn't speak or move? I'll drive.
I'm just going to gag her.
Okay.
I meant sit in the back seat with a gun on.
I know. I'm going to do that too.
If anything strange happens, do not hesitate to pull that trigger.
I'm assuming we have duct tape. It's a squad car. It has everything
in it.
I'm just going to duct tape her mouth shut.
And this may sound strange, but I think we need to find that boy, Billy DuPont.
Yeah. What do you need him for?
Well, he was here right before she showed up. Let's see what he knows. See if he remembers anything differently. If he remembers the factory. If he remembers Patricia going away.
So, speaking of that, Billy, what? Where are you headed to on your bike? You sped off.
Have fun.
I don't know. The script didn't say.
You could, if you want a suggestion, you could go to see Ivar. You could,
Sure, I'll see Ivar, because I like Ivar.
Okay. You have this strange sensation as well as you're driving.
Yeah.
Like something is, some physical thing is probing into your thoughts and memories, trying to change them around. What, do you let that happen, or you resist it?
I'll try to resist it.
Okay, you don't have to roll, it's just... You get this weird sensation, and then you shake it off.
Okay.
And then you look forward, and you see there's a security gate in your way. You're going to crash right into it. So make me either flashy or quick.
I'll make a flashy.
Okay, so you're going to pull your bike to a flashy stop.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Did you flush the ball right?
You beep yourself.
Oh. I'm sorry. Ow. I got plus one.
No. Plus one. All right, it's not as graceful as you might have liked.
Yeah.
But you don't crash into the fence that's in front of you.
All right.
Yeah. You see, in front of you, where the road was just a second ago, mm-hmm. there is now an enormous warehouse factory with a chain link fence, and a sign that says "Property of St. Clair Incorporated."
And that's the only road back to the town, right?
Well, the road seems to go around this factory that wasn't there a second ago.
I'll go around it then.
Okay.
And I'll drive to Ivar is probably a guy who knows shit. Like,
okay, so you're gonna go see Ivar.
Yeah.
You pull up in front of his shop, and he is sitting out front, shooting the breeze with some of the locals.
I probably had done some jobs for Ivar.
Okay.
Probably.
So you recognize his usual squad of goons, yeah. And say.
His goons.
Billy DuPont.
Ivar?
Billy.
Billy. What can I do for you this morning, Billy?
Well, two things. One, would you like to hear what you heard about that went down in the,
Anderson farm?
In the farm. And two, what the is a factory doing in the middle of the road?
I do not know what went down at the old Henderson place last night. I only know what everyone else saw. Bright lights around midnight.
Are you sure you only know that? I mean, is it gonna... Or do you know more stuff and it's gonna cost me?
Either forceful...
Make me a forceful roll.
Forceful make me or clever sandwich. Or...
Make me a roll I can't refuse.
At a difficulty of 3, because he's a hard customer.
So wait, what's that mean?
He's one tough customer.
So you
customer.
Have to, instead of beating a plus 0, you have to beat a plus 3.
Okay. There we go. Here we go. Pretty tough.
This guy is one tough customer.
Nope, it did not.
And you can invoke your aspects if you want to. And okay. Since you have free aspects, you can even make up new ones if you want.
How about... I'll use...
So what did you roll without the...
I got a 1.
Okay, so if you spent a fate point, then you would succeed.
Okay. Well, I'll do a fate point then.
Okay, so which one of your aspects are you invoking, and how does it help you?
I'll do maybe a bad reputation. So maybe I did some jobs for him, and, he knows that if he needs anything, sometimes he comes to me.
Okay. And you did forceful?
Clever.
Clever. Okay, so... So, you kind of give him Ivar, come on, this is me, Billy. You know, I'm the guy you go to, but I need a favor every once in a while.
Yeah.
All right.
pond, booby. I'm your wife.
Your wife, right?
One of the greatest lines.
I will tell you this. What's a good name? A good, like, old, crusty white guy name?
Cletus.
No.
Amos.
Amos. I like Amos. Amos St. Clair suddenly became very interested in the old Henderson property as of this morning.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter, Vanessa, was down at City Hall.
Wait, who's the Sinclairs?
They own that factory.
The one that just popped up out of nowhere?
What are you talking about, Billy? It's been here for decades.
Right. Okay. Amos Sinclair.
Amos daughter Sinclair.
Sinclair Factory. Daughter's Vanessa.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew that.
I like her brain.
Very...
She's very, very brainy.
She's got many pains.
Thanks.
Listen, Billy.
What?
If there is one thing that I know, it is not to cross Amos St. Clair.
Is it St. Clair or Sinclair?
St. Clair.
St.
But he's a Russian, so you know.
So he mispronounces. He has an accent.
Wait, you know, here's how you tell the difference between a Russian in a television series and a Russian in a disaster movie. This is this Russian. Disaster movie Russian is always this. I don't know what you're talking about! Think about it. That's what in Russian and disaster movie, they only have one speed. Angry all the time.
Yeah.
Billy, you come into my barbershop, boy!
That's true. I mean, the guy from Organa was very angry.
He was.
He was angry. Every Russian in 2012 was angry. It didn't matter who they were.
John Reno. John Reno wasn't angry in Godzilla.
He wasn't?
I'm he was shocked. Angry for being in the movie because it was terrible. Yeah.
Even though he's French, but he was playing a Russian.
That's true, he is. Alright, yeah, I know that.
Steer well clear of them.
They are not to be trusted.
They are not to be trusted, but they are also not to be crossed.
Alright, well, I'm going to jump on my motorcycle and then head to my apartment, I guess.
Okay.
Or, I guess, where, like, my... You know.
So where does Billy live? Does he have like
he has let's say he lives on a, like at an apartment because his parent like let's say one parent his mom's dead and his dad is like a traveling businessman so he kind of lives but it's you know his parents is his dad's apartment too but he lives by himself
often most of the time because his dad's away
yeah.
Is his mom still alive, or should she pass?
I
kind of like the idea of his dad being a traveling salesman who's never around.
I'm picturing his dad is like Jack Lemmon from Glengarry Glen Ross. He's just this like awful traveling salesman.
Never makes any money.
Yeah. This will be the next big score, boy.
Gosh, Billy, I'm afraid we're going to have to miss Christmas this year.
It's all right.
Just always be set upon.
Ever since Mom's dead, we never had a Christmas. Don't worry.
All right, so you speed back to your apartment. You guys are taking the squad car back to the sheriff's office.
Oh yeah.
Before you get in the squad car, mm-hmm. Sheriff, the driver of the Rolls places his white gloved hand on your shoulder, and he goes,
"All right, I forgot about him."
Yeah. He goes, "Mr. St. Clair will hear about this, Sheriff."
You know what, sir? I'm hoping it does. Race you home.
All right. So you guys arrive at the sheriff's station, and Harry is sitting behind his desk. And as you guys walk in with your guns trained on Vanessa, Harry starts in his chair and he gets up and he walks over to you and he goes, Spence, have you lost your cotton picking mind? You know who that is?
No, we don't. As a matter of fact.
I'm going to say yes and no to that, Harold.
That's Amos Sinclair's daughter, St. Clair.
No. I understand what you think you might... okay. Here's the thing. We're going to put her in lockup for a little while, cool things down. This Amos fella that you think is going to come...
He's not going to like that.
Oh, no, I suspect he's not going to like it at all, but we need to sort this out and suss it out good. So I would not... I'll be in my office... so will Curtis, and so will our new friend in black over here will be with us as well. I expect there to be some problems and some trouble, so when that trouble arrives, you just let him on in, all right?
All right, Spence. I guess you know what you're doing.
Oh, no, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to do my best to figure out what's happening.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
You can have the afternoon off, Fran.
I'd prefer to keep her in our line of sight.
Oh, you like what you see?
Fran...
We gotta put her in lockup, though.
Well... We can't lock her to a chair.
If you must...
She's gagged.
I said no more words. I suggest we put her in lockup and we have a little tete-a-tete next cell over.
A what?
A talk.
Oh. And only got the one cell. I mean, how big do you think this place actually is?
Well, I mean, we got the drunk tank, but it's...
We'll put her in a
drunk
tank?
I don't think we should take our eyes off her, boys.
Well, then,
I know you may think that something strange is going on and that we'll never know what's going on, but let me tell you, the answers exist.
Do they?
Yes.
All right, which one of you is putting her in the drunk tank?
Me. I've been escorting her.
All right.
She's gonna do something to you.
Yep.
Yes, she is.
You're gonna like it.
Oh yeah.
So, Deputy Wheeler, As you were shoving her into the drunk tank,
escorting,
she catches your you two lock eyes and share a very meaningful look.
Ooh.
Because she is now your ex-lover.
Ooh.
So she has put that aspect on you.
So what would that be?
She's gonna put the aspect heartbreaker on you.
On me.
On you.
Heartbreaker.
Ooh. All right.
And that becomes part of your shared backstory. Random thing.
All right.
On this podcast is not random.
This is true.
You suddenly have these strange memories of being with this woman, and you know.
And then so I'm older than her. So
you're a little older than her.
Yeah.
Back when you were in college. Yeah, back when you were in high school, the two of you
did it,
and then we broke up when I left for college.
Right. In the bum.
So you have this this memory of telling her that it's nothing.
What are you doing that for?
It's not big enough.
Bigger dick.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's great. You could be using that for constructive purposes.
But it's, that is constructive.
Huge.
That's a podcast.
That is a podcast.
That's true. We had to find it out.
All right.
You remember telling her, you know,
we'll put you.
It's it's just not going to work out because you're going off to college to study forensics and.
Because I'm gonna be a real detective,
right?
So in the present day, I put her into the drunk tank, I undo her cuffs, and then I turn around to walk away.
You remember some other time you used cuffs?
Yeah.
I turn around to walk away, and I turn to close the cell door, and I'm like I'm gonna say something, and then I just like hang my head in shame a little bit and close the door.
And Wheeler, away.
What? Yeah. What?
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Think about it this way. At least now you know what she looks like naked.
Did you find yourself with memories that you couldn't explain?
No.
All right.
I can explain them just fine.
I'm gonna read them cleverly.
The answers exist.
All right. Do you want to oppose that?
Sure. I will lie cleverly?
You could do that.
Plus five.
Or if you wanted to be forceful.
Nah, I got plus one.
Okay, so yeah, he's No.
All my memories are well explained.
Curtis, you wouldn't lie to a man who shared a cruller with you, would you?
Nope. Because we had individual ones, so there wasn't really much sharing.
Good point. So, what are you thinking about then?
Just seeing her like that made me remember back in high school when waiting for the button!
You know what? You should tell.
Gotta be on the button, Maya.
Aw.
Ha-ha! So, you remember her.
Yeah, we were going steady back in high school.
But you didn't remember her 5 minutes ago.
Well, I mean, I remember meeting her at the... No, I didn't remember her 5 minutes ago.
Everyone else seems to know who she is. I think we need to find this young man. He was the only... If for argument's sake, Vanessa managed to get to the whole town while we were up at the Henderson farm, Billy would be untouched.
It's true. Why don't you stay here with the sheriff, because apparently her father's going to show up or something. And I'll take the squad car, go look for Billy. He's
Sheriff
probably down at the barber shop.
Might I suggest you put in a call to St. Agnes?
Sure. I'm going to call my wife first, though.
When did we send our daughter to boarding school?
Exactly.
All right. So you call your wife. She doesn't answer the first time.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Someone's on the dog. Someone's in the doghouse and sleeping on the couch tonight.
And the answering machine picks up.
And it's Ed.
What is it, Theodore?
Is it a nice couch?
Ooh. No, they don't even own a couch.
Yeah, I don't have a couch.
It's a fancy one.
Kitty, look, all right, I understand why you're upset with me, and that is fine, but that is not the point I'm calling for at this point in time. We can discuss this later. What I need to know is, I need to know this now, where is Patricia?
Patricia is where she's been for the last 16 months, over at St. Agnes's.
You're telling me that she is at St. Agnes's right now?
Well, I would assume so. I spoke to her on the phone last night. She was worried about that biology midterm.
It's summer, Ryan.
Is it?
Oh, Jesus, it's after graduation.
She's probably coming home soon.
She's in summer school.
Yeah, that's right, because she's a problem child.
That's true. It's like you've never seen the show, right?
You haven't read it yet.
It's like we've been making it the fuck up as we go
on. The problem with the show is it's changing now.
Yeah.
Just when we got this nice little thing going, we figure the whole thing out, and Ryan comes around and goes, nah, we don't like that anyway.
Will would hate this, by the way.
Oh, making stuff up? Yeah, it's probably better than
Will. Wait, do I know her or not?
Guys, don't know, guys.
We love guys.
Right. Do I know her or do I not know her?
Oh, guys, I accidentally swallowed my dice.
Why'd you do that?
It was an accident. I was hungry, so I put them in my mouth, and I chewed until they were pulp, and I swallowed. It was an accident.
But that's what made me do it.
God, well.
No, we didn't.
You guys dared me to do it.
No, we didn't.
All right, well, okay, because,
You know, you could stand to call her. She said she hadn't heard from you in weeks.
I just saw her 20 minutes ago. But I don't expect you to know that.
Were you
that.
FaceTiming or something?
Yeah, but I don't expect you to know
were
that.
Were you FaceTime? Did you Skype with her?
No, no, Kitty, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I
he doesn't know how to face.
No.
I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
What did Amos St. Clair do for me?
Well, that's a... That's a hell of a question.
Wait, can I...
No, I was going to say, you told me never to ask.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Derek seems like the kind of guy who probably is too proud.
And that's fine. And that, you know, but... okay. But you're saying that this Amos St. Clair has been around for a while?
The St. Clairs have been one of your largest campaign contributors.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Okay.
Is there some trouble or
Kitty, it's okay. Just it's all right. You might be hearing some things here in the foreseeable future that you may not like. Of course, you've already heard some you don't like, but that's not the point. We're gonna have he and I are gonna have a little bit of a head to head confrontation, I believe. That happens when you put his daughter in the lockup. But hey, that's good, Kitty. Just meal for dinner tonight. That's great. I will talk to you later. Thank you. Love you. Okay. Bye bye.
Teddy, what?
And then, click.
Sheriff, I'm sure you've already had the thought that if everybody else is under the impression that your daughter is away, and she actually is, then Vanessa, Miss St. Clair didn't actually do anything that we can hold her on.
Suspicion? We can hold her for 24 hours.
Right.
Suspicion of what?
Trespassing on a crime scene.
Right.
They own the land.
Still, it's a crime scene. We can hold her for 24 hours. Then we gotta let her go if we don't have charges.
Was the area cordoned off that we were...
The
barn was...
The barn was cordoned off.
Right, but that's fine. It's still a crime scene.
She didn't cross the tape.
Yeah, but we're also... We can hold her for 24 hours.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Are we under suspicion, we can hold her for 24 hours.
And as of right now, the three of us have suspicion of...
witchcraft.
Witchcraft. Of psychological assault and suspicion.
Well,
and suspicion,
maybe, Derek,
and suspicion to commit murder.
Well, Derek, maybe a clever or careful perception check.
All right.
Well then, gentlemen, we have 24 hours to.
All right. I'm
put something.
I rolled
to
first.
This.
I figured just this and this. Does this counter out that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a 1, so it's a plus. It's a plus 4. If it's careful, it's a better number.
Okay. You lean forward on your desk and you know, massage your temples.
Yeah.
And you catch sight of a family photo that you took last Christmas. You remember that your daughter refused to not style her hair in that ridiculous spiky hairdo, you know, for your nice family photo, and her hair is bright pink. But you look over it, and it's a different girl.
Out of character, they recast my daughter.
She's not Lacey Chabert anymore. Who she play by now?
I don't know.
Sorry, she's not Lacey Chabert.
Hey, Curtis.
Yeah, boss.
Why don't you take a look at this?
I used to have a question.
Put the picture in front of me.
That was your Christmas photo. Who's that where Patricia used to be?
That's a modified question. Because I don't know who that is. But Dollars and Donuts is going to tell you that if I showed my picture to my wife, she's going to say, oh, look how bad her hair looks. So,
Cooper.
That is not the girl from the squad car.
No. The realization bell went off perfectly timed. That is not the woman from the squad car.
I'm gonna take my car and go find Billy DuPont. I'll bring him back here. And Wheeler heads out.
Alright.
Alright. So
he's probably at the barbershop.
We got 10 after 11 right now. How late do you guys wanna go?
A million o'clock.
All right.
That's not a time. How far are we away from the end?
Very, I would imagine. Pretty far.
We just scratched the surface here.
But this was not exactly designed to be a one shot.
Fine. We can go with another 30 minutes.
Why don't we do the next scene where I can bring Meyer in,
and then we can end with
all of us in one spot.
Alright, sounds good.
This is episode one, Ryan.
This is the first episode of the new season.
They ended with a cliffhanger or something.
Alright,
I just got your text about wanting fudge, Ed.
So,
when did you send that?
Hours ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Meyer, what is Billy doing at his empty apartment?
I am on my computer researching and seeing how far this I'm gonna look up information on Sinclair's.
Okay, so if it's a family,
if it's a factory, I don't know, just popped up. People that apparently have been here forever. I just want to know now as much about them as possible. But
make me a careful or clever.
I'll take clever.
Never good.
Plus two.
Okay. You get a shit ton of hits. You know, type it into Google.
No, this is a TV show.
That's right.
Into internetsearch.com.
Into gargle.com.
No, that's all the search.
Yeah.
Usearch.com.
You warned me.
No.
I'm sure you'll get a St. Clair from there.
Probably.
You come up with Amos.
Probably a Vanessa St. Clair too.
You come up with Amos St. Clair, foot powder mogul. he owns the large foot powder production plant in Paradise Bluff. You get a full biography of him. He was MBA at Harvard Business School. Made his fortune in the talcum powder business in the 60s and 70s with his patented St. Clair foot powder formula.
Yeah.
You see
quadruple medicated.
Yeah, quadruple medicated.
Well, I print stuff out too. So.
You see photographs of the construction of the Paradise Bluff production plant in 1968,
mm-hmm.
And you recognize, you know, The mountains in the background is exactly where the factory was, and it seems to be a picture that was taken, you know, in the 60s. In the section about his family, you read about how he's got his wife is deceased, but his daughter Vanessa has already started to. Started to take after her father in terms of her business acumen.
Okay.
And it sounds like they did you find a profile of her online. She is poised to take over her father's foot powder empire.
Okay. By the way, I printed out stuff because I had hard copy.
All right, so...
By the way, so one last thing. knowing, like, stuff obviously has changed, I'm going to search about Julie and see if anything different with that case has changed.
Ooh, you sir,
that's smart of you.
You make me another clever check.
Ooh, plus four.
Plus
Ooh,
four.
Nice.
I will leave that up to you. Honestly, has anything about the case changed?
I think we should be like let's. I think that should be like a big revelation at the
end of the first episode.
Yeah. Something now. This whole thing has now changed.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I think so. It ends with Meyer.
All right. So you find a headline. Millionaire heiress questioned in local disappearance.
Oh. Local disappearance. And then it's a, it says, college student missing for, 6 months. And then it's just a picture of, Kelly.
Oh, well, so Kelly Spencer's missing now?
So Julie is not missing anymore.
Well, we've established that you talked to Kelly before.
Yeah, we already talked to Kelly.
Right, that was before everything changed.
No, that was after everything changed.
Oh, yeah.
So then there's a... Billy DuPont, open up, it's Deputy Wheeler.
I open the door.
We need to talk about the St. Clairs. And that's where it ends.
All right.
So what changed?
We don't know. Something.
She was involved somehow.
Okay. Vanessa.
Vanessa was involved.
She was a person of interest.
She was a person of interest.
Right.
Okay.
Apparently.
Alrighty.
What kind of notes are you taking, and why are you taking them on the dry erase board?
That Veronica Vaughn. Yes, when I wrote it, I said Veronica, I was like, damn.
Alright. So that was
one piece of ass.
I'm taking crazy FBI guy notes.
No, you don't.
Okay. Well, I know, but a friend, him and her, totally.
Alright, I'm intrigued.
So what did you guys think?
I liked it.
Absolutely. It's hard when you think you have an understanding of things and then it just flies out the window. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a, you're supposed to get invested in the show and the characters through the setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then the threat element comes out of left field and is just like, what the fuck?
You've done, in fact, have done just that.
Well, because now we're not focused on the barn or...
Right. Yeah, all that flies out the window. Now it's like, hey, it's for our own existence.
Right. I wanted the threat to be something different than Bill the Killer. Yeah. So, but that's my goal of, in developing this as a standalone module.
Would it be like up to the players of defending, like a GM, to decide what the threat would be instead of the...
I think Ryan has decided
I know what the threat is.
We have to figure it out.
No, I meant, like, to fit into the story. You're just going to, like, every time, like, no matter what the story, be always, like, a foot powder shop and then they're connected to it, or would you...
No, I would list a couple of different examples of what the threat could be.
My thought is that it's plot points that were never written, that were, like, cut before production, that are trying to force themselves into the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
Well, we'll see.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Did you guys, having gone through the setup, did you guys feel like that was workable? Do you think we could streamline it at all? Or
The setup was great. I think the only thing I think that needs to be changed is I don't even know if the genre and hook. I don't know. I feel like that might need like one or two more
aspects.
Just to help people get a better idea.
Yeah, so we could do...
So, like genre, and then maybe, you know, critic reaction would be another right. thing. And then that's mm-hmm. where we put, like, addictive or, you know, best new mystery on right. TV or something.
I think there should probably also be a section... I don't think it should be a choice. I don't think it should be a choice. I think that it really only works if it's if it starts, like, in the... It can't start at the beginning.
Yeah.
It has to be an
established. So it has to be, like, a second episode season or something.
The first season or second season.
Yeah.
See, I think what was better with, like, instead of midwife, I think it works better, like a beginning of a new season because then, you know, it's, you know, the first episode and then you can build from there. Yeah. Instead of it's a middle
or
season.
You come back from the hiatus.
The mid-season break.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could work out. It could work either way. It just has to be far enough in that there is an established plot and characters and things that are now being changed.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, when you said originally when we recorded the Too Many Cooks version that you thought that Bill was what happens when the show gets canceled, I thought that could be an interesting threat for the characters to deal with. Like, the show has been canceled, or, you know, the show
who would come on, who would cancel? That's not believable, Ryan. Who would cancel this show?
It's awesome. Fox.
I mean,
Fox canceled the show.
Wait, if it was Fox, we wouldn't even be talking about a second season right now. Or be done in the first season.
You know, one of the threats could be the show has just completely jumped the shark, and the writers are trying everything. So there's all this random shit coming in.
Yeah,
the Jeff Loeb problem.
Basically.
Yeah, basically, I think it might be better if there were four. Like, if there were genre, you know, critic reaction, hook, and then just to give players another idea, it's like blank plus blank.
Right.
So just so you have a better idea as a player.
What it is.
You know, so this is X-Files meets Twin Peaks, or, you know, it's Cheers meets Quantum Leap. Which...
That would be amazing.
Cheers meets Quantum Leap.
There was a it was an anime I watched that was... It's kind of like... It wasn't like that. It's basically... the premise was, and every plot, like, every episode was the same, was that two people died, they didn't know they died, they went to a bar, and then it was up to, and they had to play a game, and in that game, there was a guy who, like, would watch them, like, the bartender, and he would, after, like, at the end, as the game ended, he would, determine whether who would go to heaven or go to hell, and every episode was... different two people.
What show was this?
It was an anime.
That's really...
There was a there was a short-lived show on VH1.
It was based on a short.
That was trying to be like Twilight Zone for it was called Strange Frequency. Do you remember that one at all?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't last long. It lasted like maybe a season. It started off with a movie. It was four vignettes. Then they brought it as a series. It lasted maybe a season, but a season in cable terms is like, you know, nine episodes or whatever. But basically, it was like Twilight Zone, Tales from the Dark Side, but for VH1. So every episode had some sort of music theme to it,
right?
You know, and it was just, you know, and there was just, and the, like, one episode was called Disco Inferno, and there are these two like hard rocking guys are in a car accident, and then they wake up and they look to their right and there's a disco or dance club. And they go in, and everyone's dancing to disco, all 70s stuff, you know, and they walk in, and they're, you know, in, like, you know, Slayer t-shirts and Scorpions and whatever. And they go into the place, and the whole time, the bartender is like, trying to talk to them, like, you got to stay, and they're sending girls out to dance with them on the dance floor. You're not sure what the whole deal is. And then you find out that... that it's basically you have a choice if it's hell basically and so you either have to stay in hell or you know and or that it, like you burn like you you're, like it's like so it's not hell it's purgatory
okay
so these rock guys are in this disco club. It's like the worst possible place for them to be, and one of them ends up being like one of them is actually dead, like he broke his neck in the car accident.
Uh-huh.
The other guy is just bleeding and hurt and not dead yet.
so he's able to fight his way back out and not succumb to the disco. It's so funny though. I mean, it's so good. I mean, they were, for what they were cheesy, but they were really good. I mean, there's this one episode, this is great one with
what was the show called?
It was called Straight Frequency. This one with Charisma Carpenter. She's like this goth princess, like this goth music princess, and all she talks about is her songs are about death and witchcraft and everything. Mm. But it's just a hook. Like, it's just a, you know, she doesn't believe any of this shit, but she just does it because all the teeny bopper kids believe in it and they buy her albums.
Right, right.
So she's at a concert and she's doing this thing where she's singing the song, and she looks out in the audience and she sees death claim a kid.
Oh.
In the audience.
That's terrifying.
And so she thinks, oh my God, like, you know, I called death or whatever. And she's watching the episode of Twilight Zone with the old woman and Robert Redford where he's the cop in the hall.
Yeah.
So she's watching that and she's convinced that death's going to come for her. So she's not letting anyone into her apartment. So then finally she lets this guy into her apartment and the guy is like, oh, you know, death is beautiful. And, you know, and so she believes that, okay, she's convinced herself that this is death in a different form and he's come to claim her and she's, okay, I accept it. Let's go. Fine. So he convinces her to OD, and she begins to drown in the bathtub.
And when she
drowns, death comes to claim her, and pulls her soul out. And death is actually Sebastian Bach. So, you know, from Skid Row, and mm-hmm. you know, and Count, you know, Sebastian Bach, like very tall, very thin,
yeah.
you know, rocker guy, but he's funny. So death is actually Sebastian Bach. So death pulls her out, and he goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, why'd you kill yourself? And she's like, what do you mean? He goes, I wasn't coming for you. I mean, you know, you were, this is great, you know, and so then basically, she's like, that son of a bitch. He totally conned me into killing myself.
Oh, he left me.
And so then she convinces death to fuck with him.
Uh-huh.
And then he has such a good time. He brings her back to life on one condition. He gets to sing with her on stage. So there's some great ones. There's like,
all right, wait, before we get it, let's start recording.
Yeah.
I found the title was called Death Parade. It's on Hulu if you're interested.
No one told me if we're still recording.
Well, we never stopped.
Yeah.
Just cut the end off.
So
no. That's what she said.
Yeah, it's called
I'm glad you guys are liking it so far. My goal is to make sort of a toolkit where, you know, you sit down with your players, you make your own series, and then you fuck it up.
The series.
Damn. It seems you've leaped into a postal worker named Cliff Clavin.
Sam, you're a guy named Norm.
Everybody knows your name, Sam.
Do you have a last name? No.
I think he does.
He does, but they don't ever talk about
it. Just hit the button, Ryan.
Yeah, that's it. Bye, everybody. Bye.